Hello, everyone. Welcome to our Inspiring Thoughts podcast. I'm delighted to have Claire Johnston with us, who's the people director from Carrera Hotels. So really delighted to have you here today, Claire. Claire has helped me with the pronunciation before we started today. So thank you so much for coming on board and welcome to our podcast.
Thanks very much for the invite. Delighted to be here.
Yeah, it's great. Really looking forward. And Claire and I talked about weathers. We're at two ends of the country today. So I'm in Kent and Claire's in Scotland. So I said to Claire, I think the world's ending this morning and it's rain, etc. I think Claire just said that's a breeze in the park for her in Scotland.
Yeah, there's definitely an expectation of poorer weather in our neck of the woods.
Yeah. So Claire, I've invited you on today because of your expertise and also the stuff that you do on LinkedIn, really, really positive. And I've asked you to come on to talk about attracting talent today, especially in the industry that you work from that perspective. So would you mind just telling our viewers kind of your brief career history, where you've got to and how you got to where you are today?
Sure. So I've worked in hospitality pretty much all my life. Mum and dad owned a pub, you know, and I was serving the Sunday carveries and then started pulling pints and it kind of went for there. I was very lucky. I then went abroad. No judgment, but I was a holiday rep for 10 years. So that kind of introduced me to a whole new way of looking at hotels. And then when I came back to the UK, I went in and started and worked in places in Edinburgh and really got into Scottish hospitality. I'd moved up here about 17, 18 years ago. So I've worked for some amazing resorts and I started from the operational side in hotels. Yeah. And then, as most people in my career say, that you sort of fell into the people side of it and realized I loved it and I liked finding out about different people and that. And then I went from a solo site to a more of a group role. And that's been sort of my last three roles have been in group roles. And I've only recently joined Carrera Hotels, which was the beginning of January. So this is another new adventure, I suppose, but still in Scottish hospitality, which is amazing.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And also, I know, like when you on LinkedIn, the pictures of the hotels and the stunning scenery. I mean, it is wow, isn't it? It is wow.
Yeah, I mean, there's not a bad commute to work, let's say. You know, it's from driving through sort of the Glenshee ski ranges and over Oban and Loch Fyne, and you know, there's certainly worse commutes to work. It's not bad. It was funny, I didn't really intend to put so much up, but then people kept saying, oh, you know, more and more and more, and I just kept putting the pictures up because, you know, it's inspiring as to all these different locations that our hotels are, and they're stunning. So
and it should be celebrated. I think that's the bit about
I think sometimes
actually celebrate the good stuff,
and that's it. And also, people always say, don't they, it's not so much the destination, it's the journey. And you know, that's so true. When I'm driving, you know, all right, it's 2-3 hours drive, but you know, by the time you sort of, sometimes I drive past these sceneries and I think scenery like that should be illegal, you know. Some of that is a painting, you know, some of it is stunning, but however, I haven't yet done it in the depths of winter, so I'm sure my opinions might change when the snow's inbound.
it's nice kind of spring going into that summer period, but now the winter one, when you come through next time, it'll be a different perspective.
I might have to manage the diary a bit better come December, but for now it's nice.
Good on you. No, I'm delighted. So what we've done before with all our guests, we send them questions in advance so we get Claire's rich kind of knowledge, etc. So Claire, to kick off today, we ask about attracting talent from that perspective. For yourself, how does a modern workplace look for you in 2024? What's your views about how does a good modern workplace look?
I think it's actually really difficult to describe the modern workforce because, you know, 5 years ago, we'd have thought we'd know what it is. But then obviously the world turned upside down and today is just so, so different. I do think there's a few key points that are sort of really dominant. I mean, remote working is probably the biggest change that everybody would immediately identify. And I think any employer kind of not willing to consider a hybrid or even fully remote roles for the appropriate ones that can be is ultimately going to, you know, really lose out on great employees. Technology is coming through. So advanced technology, improved connectivity, you know, that's all coming into it as much more as well for that, because of the communication for those remote and hybrid teams. I suppose the other key points that come in, flexible working for both hours and location is, you know, presenteeism is something that's talked about a lot just now. We have to be able to offer sort of really flexible scheduling options. And our employees are looking for that kind of work-life balance even more so these days. I suppose the main difference that I think is in a modern workforce is how diverse and inclusive today's teams are.
Yes.
You know, diversity has just become non-negotiable, and it's integral to company culture. You know, employees feel so much more valued and supported in inclusive workplaces. But I mean, as well as all of that, today's teams are looking for and have a real focus on well-being. You know, they're engaged with initiatives such as mental health support, wellness programs, flexible policies. They're really conscious about burnout and productivity. And also, they can tell you so much more now what a great workplace looks and feels like than they ever used to be able to. I mean, obviously, AI is, I think I've started using a little bit of AI and maybe slightly nervous on it a little bit, but it comes into things in so much now. But, you know, I think overall, a modern workforce today is characterized by flexibility, technology integration, a real focus on well-being and inclusion, as well as kind of that commitment to lifelong learning and sustainability. But I think adaptability really remains key as well as organizations and companies navigate the really ever-evolving trends and challenges in today's workforce. It's, you know, there's so much out there and you've got to really keep a finger on the pulse with it all.
Yeah. And I like the way you've just finished off that about finger on the pulse. You do, you have to, whereas if we went back 5 years ago, you kind of knew what the workplace would be.
Yeah.
It's completely different now if we think about it. And that's why I like that question. It just gets us thinking of actually what's the culture of the workplace? How do we attract talent, flexibility, adaptability, et cetera? I've seen a lot of organizations destroy their culture overnight by going, everyone's back 5 days in the office.
And you go,
why did you do that?
Yeah, when nothing, you know, nothing exploded. The world didn't spontaneously combust because people started to work from home. In fact, so many companies got so much more out of it.
Correct.
Yet now there's companies doing rapid backtracks and you just think, well, why? You know, our industry is very different because there's very few roles in our industry that can be remote, fully remote. Yeah. And, you know, there's a few hybrids. Yeah. But I do look at some of these bigger industries and think if something, this is the age old thing, something works, don't try and fix it. You know, it's already working. But, you know, ultimately our workforces now tell us.
Yes.
It never used to be like that. It used to be that employers used to tell employees. And it's the other way around now. They tell us what a good workplace looks and feels like.
Yeah. And it's the bit there about what I like there is about flexibility. So actually, you can get more people from people saying that actually, what if we change your hours or play around with them, that kind of bit. That shows to me about a true modern workforce from that point of view. I also think adapting to AI, those kind of things, that ChatGPT from that point of view. So you kind of go, right, how do we keep going? From that perspective, but I think you've summed it up perfectly, so I think we should capture that from that point of view. So I really, really appreciate that. It's a good start for us. So when you're recruiting within Crerar Hotels, what kind of are you looking for? What skills are you looking for from colleagues now?
Hospitality is all about people. It's all about people. It's the people who enjoy our venues, whether they're visiting or staying, and of course the people who look after them. Hospitality is probably one of the most personal things, and guests, the same way a workforce has changed, guests have changed. They want really individual experiences tailored to them.
Yes.
You know, nobody wants to feel like a number in a line, and it's important that our teams deliver that as well.
Yeah.
And for that reason alone, we do recruit on personality more than anything else.
Yeah, good.
You know, it's really true that you can train and teach anyone systems and processes and ways of doing things, but personality is just something totally unique. When we chat to people at interview, we take a really relaxed approach to it. We want to give people the chance to tell us about themselves without getting nervous in a formal setting. You know, if we don't see the true person, if they're nervous and uncomfortable, we might show them around the hotels.
Yeah.
And it's at that times that you see them relax even more because
we see how
they interact with our team as well.
Yeah.
You generally see more of the true person at that because to them, the interview's kind of finished. You know, this is just a chat and a tour. obviously for some specific roles like the chefs and spa therapists, are certain skills and qualifications that are needed. But again, everyone has to start somewhere. And these days we can offer so much development and training on the job from such a young age that, you know, even that shouldn't stop us.
Yeah.
One thing I do think hospitality teams do really well is we really reevaluate positions when they become vacant. So we don't just replace like for like, you know, we take the time to really look at the structure or the position and the team it's in and really review exactly what we need for the business. That way, we know we're always driving forward and we ensure that we sort of recruit the right people for the right roles.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, key skills, communication, teamwork, adaptability and a really positive attitude is always going to be desirable. But employers need to remember that people only know what they know. Yeah. And to be the inclusive employer that we talked about before with the modern workforce, you've got to, you know, you've got to be essential that we see this beyond the skills that people have now and look forward to what we can actually turn them into being and to support and develop them into being. So it all comes down to personality, but you've got to see, I suppose, a little spark of something from somebody.
Yes. Yeah. And do you know what? I just love that. Because it's a two-way relationship, like interviewing. I see so many organizations still think that the person owes that company a living rather than actually it's a two-way relationship. Let's actually, we've got to impress that colleague. And the bit I love there is you can teach people things.
Of course you can.
But that personality, especially in the industry that you work in, Claire, is so so important, from that customer service, that personal touch. And to see that. And I love the bit there about walking around the hotel to really get to know the colleague. And I love the way that you've looped it back in saying, well, if we truly want to be an inclusive organisation, you're going to have to do things differently, isn't it?
You know, I mean, even to the extent of I've attended a lot of courses over the last year about being diverse in terms of how people with neurodiverse abilities, you know, such as autism and ADHD, what sorts of things they require from a recruitment process. And, you know, we've got to change. It's not people that have to change. It's the employers that have to change to ensure that we can bring these amazing people into our businesses. Yes.
Yeah. And it's, I love the way the bit there about amazing people. It's so positive. That's the bit of seeing the good in people and actually, come on, we want to get those people in. Because the bit we've definitely seen through our experience and our research that the more and more that you embrace new experiences, more a kind of Gen Z approach about culture, actually people I work with, those kind of bit, you'll get people blossom and grow. Whereas if you stay stick in the mud 5-10 years ago, those people won't join you. They go, there's enough options now, isn't there, to go to different places. Yeah. So this is really good, really refreshing.
Sometimes it amazes me that employers are still surprised when somebody turns down a job offer. Well, you think, well, this is a two-way street now. This isn't, you know, and I actually say it in interviews, this isn't about me interviewing you. You need to interview us as well. Yes. You know, ultimately, you know, we spend more hours in our life working than we do anything else.
Yes.
So we have to be able to work for people we think we can work with and get something out of it ourselves. It's not, no longer do we do jobs. I don't think jobs is the right phrase anymore. You know, it's part of life, isn't it, what we work. Yeah. So careers and, you know, whether it's you're in the same industry for years and years, you've got to get something out of it and you've got to be able to enjoy it at least, you know, 80-90% of the time.
Yeah. And also the before I go into the next question, because I think we can talk for hours on this. This is fascinating. I love it. The bit also about, I love the way you just said about we reevaluate the job each time.
Yeah.
That is really powerful because I see so many organisations that we work with and we say, why is that person in that role? This is the way we've always done it. And you go, but actually that's not needed anymore. And that poor person's going, I don't really know what I'm doing, the value I'm adding, that kind of stuff. So I love the way about reevaluating. That is spot on, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, you can't do it with every role and you don't need to do it all the time, but you certainly need to look at, you know, is that role still fit for the business? What sort of person do we want in that role? The last person had these skills. Do we want different skills? You've got to have those conversations in a modern workforce. You've got to.
Yeah, no, I think it's spot on. I think it leads nicely on about, so how do you attract new talent? Through social media, word of mouth? Where do you usually get your talent from? And I know some of your hotels are remote, etc., but how do you usually gather your talent?
So it's It's a really exciting time for Quera Hotels just now, because with myself joining in January, we've got a brand new people function. So this is, we've also further strengthened it by adding a group recruitment exec this month as well, which has meant that we are in a quite a privileged position that not many companies get the opportunity to do, whereby we can completely overhaul whatever we do and however we do it. Obviously, we use all the main platforms. So, you know, Indeed, Caterer, all the usual jobs platforms, as well as recruitment fairs, colleges, school relationships. And we do use some social media as well. But now is a time for us to really understand what does and doesn't work for us. You know, we've got that chance to review everything that we've done in the past, and also to start to create more pipelines of talent as well. And I know we'll go on to it, but as well as me joining, we've also had a new director of learning and development, join as well. So we're going to work together to really ensure that our internal pipeline of talent is efficient, and we can really offer our teams amazing opportunities throughout, you know, the group. We're a big group, so we want people to be able to grow with us and tap into their own talent and potential for as long as possible. The problem with recruitment these days is that the cost of recruitment has just continued to increase over the last few years, just like the cost of living. And it's important that the money that we spend works for us. Now, we can continue to build on amazing relationships that, you know, the company already has with local colleges and schools, really trying to introduce young people to hospitality as a career, because that is something that has been a challenge ever since I was first in it, you know, and it never seen as a proper job. But we're also starting to talk to different types of organisations. There's an organisation out there called Only a Pavement Away, who connect hospitality employers with people who are facing or experiencing homelessness, prison leavers and veterans, to create even more opportunities and pipelines. You know, we'll also then be looking at our graduate management programme and our apprenticeships as well. So it's a real blended approach. Social media has to be in there, but there's so much more we can do as well as to where we get our talent from. Word of mouth is a great one, you know, and I think there's not a hospitality professional out there who doesn't sit in a restaurant and drop a business card if they've had amazing service from somebody, because you know, it's not about poaching or anything like that, but it is about just finding the good people that are out there. The big challenge for our venues is that we are quite remote, but we have team accommodation at nearly every site as well, and you know, it's just about, we get a lot of people that travel through for, maybe they're doing a year, particularly on the islands, you know, they come through and do a year and that, and then move on. So it's a very massively hybrid model as to where we get people from.
And it's, and the bit I like there though is you're accepting of it, of actually you'll get people that will be transient, that I only want to do a year, except you have to accept it, don't you, in that, in your industry, to rather than go oh no, we've lost somebody else. It's, well, that's just what it is, that's life. I also like the bit about being more creative about people from like a homeless background or from ex-prisoners, those to broaden to where you can get the recruitment, etc. So I find that really good as well, really embracing rather than just your traditional ways, which really kind of motivates.
It's like you were saying before, it's just always the way we've done it. You can't work like that. You never get the people that you need to get, you know. And hospitality, I've heard it referred to as a staffing crisis. I don't think there is a staffing crisis. You know, I think if you offer amazing journeys to your employees, you will get them, but it's difficult to get them in the first place. I think that's the issue. You know, there's a lot of competition out there. But you know, there's also so much of hospitality, from city centre stuff to more remote stuff. It just, you know, you've just got to try and target every single area and see what comes. But certainly organisations, you know, like that I mentioned, that are doing things a little bit differently, let's get involved with them and see where it takes us.
And I love the bit there about, it's like a test and learn, isn't it? Let's see where it goes. And I really enjoy that a lot of, well, let's just go with it. Let's see where it flows and let's see what comes out and take the good bits from it, rather than we've always done it this way, let's stop. That's not the way of society now. And I find it so refreshing from hearing kind of how your views are, and also from Quera Hotels. So if you look at kind of what does an employee journey look like with Quera in the future? What does an employee journey look like? For you?
Well, it's just about to get a really full and exciting overhaul and review. So it's difficult to see, but I mean, as I said, we've got the opportunity that not many have, is to really pull it apart and ask really powerful questions about whether it works for us and most importantly for our team.
Yeah.
You know, loads of companies talk about being an employer of choice.
Yes.
You only become that when your teams are engaged and motivated and understand their impact on the overall business. When people choose to work for one of our venues, or they choose to climb the career ladder with us and ultimately choose to stay with us, then we're the employer of choice.
Correct.
And we don't necessarily need to do amazing and revolutionary things. We just need to do what we say we do and do it really well.
Correct.
The vision for me is a journey which feels really exciting, really engaging and supported from the beginning to the end. You know, our new director of learning development, Laura, she's going to ensure our teams are developed both in-house and using external programs and support. We've got some brilliant initiatives available to us in Scotland, such as HIT Scotland, that we can utilize. And I think the main thing for me as well is I really envisage really efficient communication platforms where we can keep our teams up to date with everything across the business, as well as giving them a platform to self-promote themselves between teams and between venues. They're, you know, benefits as well that are actually useful and that people get really great value out of. We achieve this already by getting them involved from the start, and we already go a long way with this. You know, we offer things for days off for pet bereavements or children's first days at school, high street savings, driving lessons. All those kind of things are brilliant, but we can probably go even further with that as well. Yeah. And we need to, the important thing with benefits is to ask the team what they want rather than just say, here's an amazing list of benefits, and they're not of use to anybody. But for us as well, a big part of the journey is to reward and recognize our colleagues and our peers, really empowering our people to recognize and work and support each other.
Yeah.
You know, we'll be celebrating our first long service lunch this year for everybody celebrating 5 years or more. Yeah. And those are the people with the knowledge and the experience.
Yes.
And we need to tap into that and make sure that they're involved in the business. So what the employee journey looks like, I'm hoping they're going to mold it themselves, and we'll just be, you know, a force behind to make it happen for them as well. But I'm really excited to see what they come up with. And, you know, I will be delighted to implement as much of it as I possibly can for them.
And the couple of bits there which I think really resonate with me is, first of all, getting your employees involved. The second bit, I just love the simplicity of it. So do what you say you're going to do. And it's so often that people lose employees because they say, I was promised this learning and development course, or I was promised this leadership course, and it never happens. In theory, you've just demoralized that person. They will leave because you've overpromised, underdelivered. So that simplicity of, we said what we did what we said we were going to do, we did it. That's so, so important, especially in today's society. I see it a lot, and the companies we work with, that people go, actually, we've lost talent. And we go, how have you lost talent? And we didn't fulfill our kind of what we were expected. It's not hard to do. It's just thoughtful, isn't it?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's a lot of companies out there that they say, oh, we have the best benefits, and they show this incredible list. But I bet if you actually went and asked them what their usage report was on something like that, half of them are not even touched, you know, or people give things. I think the other thing as well for us is, because our venues are spread right across Scotland, there is no point in us giving every single venue the exact same benefits. You know, we need to, we might have a set of company benefits, but we then need to use the teams on site and leave a little bit of room for each venue to make it their own as well. You know, a really easy example is the team in Oban. They use the local community swimming pool. So can we do something with them to give them something there? You know, so it's also about making it, again, personality comes into hospitality. Yeah. So let's make our benefits a bit more, with a bit more personality about them as well.
Yeah.
You don't have to have banners and parades and everything. You just do what you do and do it good, you know, or even great.
Yeah. And I think about that, about tailoring, as in your colleagues' local swimming pool, that just takes a little bit of effort, but thought, and actually going, what can we tailor for our colleagues? And I just think that's so good. But then people go, actually, we've been thought of as people, individuals, rather than sheep dipped. And I think you said, if you looked at the reports of the benefits used, you go, well, excuse me, what have we actually used and what's relevant for our colleagues. I think that's fantastic. And I did pick up on, I'm a pet lover, so we have a little dog. So heaven forbid, but, you know, pet bereavement day, school, did you say with children, first day at school?
Yeah, first day at school. You know, it's understanding, it's difficult these days for businesses to add more and more money to wage packets. You know, we've just seen the national minimum wage. Companies can't keep adding money into banks. Yes. But what they can do is add value to the journey, you know, and we can do that by understanding that, you know, I have a dog, you know, and that's my family, is my husband and my dog, you know, and if something, hope it doesn't, if something happens, that's going to affect me. So companies need to understand what is valuable to a person in their lives. And if we can make even the slightest impact on that, we automatically engage that person more. And that's the important thing.
Yeah, no, I think it's fantastic. And I'm just smiling. I think as you were talking, I'm just beaming because, again, it's just good common sense of going, actually, let's care about people and let's do it from that perspective. Yeah. So I think it's really good. So if we go kind of forward, kind of looking now, because we've covered a couple of bits there, what plans do you have to develop and grow your staff internally and externally over coming forward? I know you said you've got a new L&D manager, but what plans are you looking at? Because I think it's so exciting that you've got – more or less you're building that house from the start, aren't you? Of you coming in, your L&D manager, recruiter. What kind of are you looking at for your kind of internal talent?
Well, our CEO, Chris, approached it slightly differently, and our director of learning and development reports straight to him. So you know, and he wanted that to be known because that shows the importance that we put on learning and development as well. They're not under another brolly, you know, they are right out there on their own. So both myself and Laura have got really exciting plans for the teams. Having both started at quite similar times, we're constantly sort of throwing ideas backwards and forwards. Yeah. But the main sorts of things are, you know, we want to include cross-training throughout the group. So if we've got a great supervisor in one, let's utilise the teams in one of the others that's maybe a slightly bigger hotel or they got conference and they don't and do that. We also need to, we're going to start looking at bespoke training plans that we can match with personality profiling and development. Apprenticeships for our young people as well, as you know, as well as finding exciting opportunities and learning for everyone at all levels. I think sometimes what happens is as soon as you move into a managerial role, you get forgotten about for learning and development. So we still need to, you know, I'm on the exec team, we still need to learn and develop our exec team and our general managers, and you know, learning should never stop. And that's all going to start with conversations with our teams to understand what development they want. We're aware as well that development comes in so many styles, on the job training, such as coffee and wine and revenue, chemicals, chef skills. But, you know, some of our teams want to benefit from building on their own interpersonal skills as well, including confidence and communication, time management, all of those sorts of things. We've got big plans for our academy, which Chris set up to give our teams access to training through university and SBQ partnerships. Industry body scholarships and the opportunity to gain formal qualifications as well. And we intend to develop that further. But part of our vision is to upskill our teams so that they are identifying training needs within themselves and their colleagues and able to support each other. That works with our flat structure, meaning it's not always the responsibility of the general manager or the heads of departments to look for those opportunities in our teams. Yeah. But more that they ask and seek out the chance to add to their knowledge and skill set. That is the ultimate way of building a talent pipeline for our group going forward.
And there's a couple of bits to pick out of, you said about exec level, about your development, super important. I heard a really good phrase that I like is about innovate or evaporate. So you've got to keep going forward and keep moving from that point of view. And I think where we see with some organisations, the good organisations, the exec team are still learning, developing, moving forward, and it demonstrates, it ripples through the organisation. The other end of the scale is where we see execs saying, go and do the training, but they've got no idea of what the training is being done. So they've bought it in. So I think that's really good from kind of a leadership point of view. And also, I think the bit there of mixing up between external leads, external courses, et cetera, but also internal, because there's nothing richer than going, actually, there's a supervisor over there. Why don't we spend some time with them and learn from that perspective? I think that's a great model to adapt and use rather than just one or the other, if that makes sense. Yeah. I think it's good. It's a good model. And also asking what colleagues they need, because you could have someone with a formal qualification going, but do I really need that or to do my job? So I think it's great to just have that vary, but you're in exciting times because you can play with it how you see fit, isn't it?
Yeah, very much so. You know, I think we don't want to train for training's sake. But, you know, and also I think, again, the way employers need to change their mindset a little bit. It doesn't always have to be a manager doing the training. If you've got an amazing food and beverage assistant who's brilliant at upselling wine, get them to train everybody else.
Yes.
You know, the last time I upsold wine was probably about 10 years ago. So, it's about utilizing those skills. But it is about giving empowerment to your teams to say, if they see somebody struggling with doing latte art on a coffee and they know how to do it, then little 10-second training session right there and then. But I also think we're also looking into AI and technology and things like that in the way of being able to bolster even further our training platforms too. So hopefully, it's a really exciting time. And I think myself and Laura have these visions ahead of us. It'd be interesting to see in 6 to 12 months' time where we're at with it all.
Well, it's exciting to watch and see, because I know, like, with our connection now, but to see where Carrera Hotels go, and that's the bit which we take a lot of joy from, is going, oh, how have we got on and what have you done? And being nosy from that perspective, lovely to see. But I just think you're in such a great place to mould and develop where you want the Carrera Hotels to go and the colleagues. And it's been really lovely that you keep talking about colleagues, which I love, rather than processes. So you can see that kind of beaming through from yourself. So I really, really appreciate that. So if you were to go back, I've put on the thing, kind of the document there, 20 years ago, what advice would you give to your younger self about trying to impress in the workplace? What advice, so even if we went 10, 15 years ago, what advice would you give yourself?
Gosh, what a different world it was, eh?
Yeah.
I think my generation has seen the most change in working environments, world events and technology. You know, so many times I hear people say, oh, this is a once in a lifetime thing. I've had so many once in a lifetime in the last 10 years. But I'm quite privileged to have experienced such change in my personal and professional life as well. From, you know, we grew up with no internet when we saw it come in, and phones and all that kind of thing.
Yes.
A piece of advice that was given to me by one of my very first managers was to always say yes. And I've really tried to live by that. You know, saying yes to helping somebody, saying yes to opportunities, saying yes to change and yes to learning. That ethos has really afforded me amazing chances and opportunities. And I really think it also has helped me build positive and effective working relationships in a workforce. Yeah. You know, I would advise my younger self to always be bold, be confident and say yes. Whatever job you do, do all other jobs too. I mean, by that, I mean, it's had a massive impact on the success of my role within people and HR. The fact that I've worked in the operations of a hotel and understand the structure and the commerciality of our business. Understanding other people's roles and how you impact on those is really powerful in becoming part of a positive team player. You know, my final advice would be to learn from everybody, whether it's a manager who's been in the business for a year or 20 years. Everyone's story is amazing, and we should all take the time to listen and appreciate everyone's stories and where they've come from. You know, we can learn so much from each other, and I don't think that learning should ever stop.
Yes.
So, you know, I think say yes and listen is probably the two big things that I would say to my 20-year-old self.
I love the bit of they're about yes, because I was lucky enough in my career that I got jobs, or because I worked extra overtime or I stayed late, because people say, would you do it? And you go, yeah, I'll have a go and do that. And I may not know it, but I'll have a go. And I think that can do attitude ripples through, because you may not get it right, but people will respect you and go, oh wow, they've had a go from that point of view. And I really like that bit about saying yes from that point of view, and then learning off as many people as possible. That's not changed throughout the years, but that's a great one to go, actually, what is it you do? Can I learn from you? What skill set to build up? What we call it, toolkit. So what are you building up in your toolkit that you're going to use again later on? So I find it fascinating about we can learn so much. But I think the bit there, I'm just smiling about saying yes. It's good, isn't it? Yeah, it's actually
yeah, I really wish I could remember who said it to me. It was one of my first ever managers, but every time I think back and somebody asks me a question like that, I always say, just say yes to stuff. You know, it was how I ended up going abroad for 10 years because I was a real home bird. You know, I hadn't had an overexciting childhood or anything weird and wonderful. And, you know, I just got on with it. And then all of a sudden somebody said to me, do you fancy going for this? And I was like, oh, OK, yes. You know, and I said yes to 6 months and I came home 9 years later. So it is, you know, if you've got the opportunities, just don't overthink things too much. Just kind of get on with it. And whether it is something as simple as just helping somebody or going abroad, you know, one extreme to the other, go for it. You know, live life, get on with it. And who knows where it will take you. It's amazing. Yeah.
And that's the bit I've always looked at and always felt that life's short. You may as well enjoy it. You're only on the planet once. So actually, what all these experiences that you can gather and do, and you are going to get knockbacks. So we ask some people to be on our podcasts and stuff like that. People, some people say yes, but we have majority say yes, and some people say no. We just have to accept it. That's the kind of the world that we're in. So if you were looking at your for 2024. A lot of people ask us on a podcast, what are you working for your development, your own self-development this year, Claire? What's on your agenda?
So I think this year is one of the more pivotal in my professional life because having now taken on the role that I've taken on, I've also been accepted onto a Women in Leadership Scholarship through HIT Scotland. And that starts at the end of the month and runs for the year. And I can't wait to hear from other influential women in our industry. And that scholarship is really going to help me build on my confidence. Now that's probably the biggest development area for me. But with my new, you know, people director with Carrera, I know I'm going to learn so much from it. And I'm really excited to work with Chris, our CEO and the team and learn from their experience. My development here is going to be much more about taking more of a strategic role of viewing my role than I have before. As my team grows, as our group grows, and hopefully, as you know, so will we grow with the role in the future. So it feels well placed that I'm able to grow with it. Confidence and self-awareness are things that I think we always underestimate in others and ourselves. And I think it's really important that we hold our hands up when we might struggle or we're not sure and use the experience and the support around us. It's sometimes a really common misconception that senior managers have got it all sorted. And so many times we haven't. I really need to work on sort of decreasing my imposter syndrome. Having a bit more faith in my own abilities. I have some amazing colleagues, friends and network connections throughout Scotland. And I always found it very humbling when people pay me compliments. And I know I probably need to learn to accept them more easily. But probably the biggest compliment I ever got was being approached by Chris for this role. And, you know, in 12 weeks in, I still kind of pinch myself a little bit because it does feel like a real key moment in my career. And I'm really excited for the future. But confidence, inner confidence, perhaps, is and that little imposter that sits in the shoulder. You know, that's probably my real development this year. And I'm hoping that the scholarship's going to help me with that as well.
And I think the bit about humility there, of people always think that the leader or executives know what exactly to everything. We're not human beings. So there's a bit about the roles I took on over the years. I didn't know everything, but I could work with people and go, what's your view? How can I do that? So you didn't show that you were non-confident, but you showed that you had confidence. Actually, I didn't understand that from that perspective to ours. So I think that's a great part. And I also think with women in business in Scotland, it's a great kind of rich environment to then broaden that knowledge even more. I think it's fab. You've got an exciting year, haven't you?
I probably need to pace myself a little bit.
You'll be having a spa treatment.
But that's why I say it does feel really pivotal. You know, there's been a couple of key roles when I've taken on a role and I suddenly think, okay, this feels different. This feels like a real springboard. You know, one of my first, my largest HR roles a few years ago felt like a real springboard moment for me. And I grew a lot more self-awareness through, we started doing profiling and things like that. I've never had exposure to that before. So now I get really excited about learning about that going forward. And I'm so much more self-aware of, you know, I suppose we talk about the best version of yourself. I kind of know that the best version of me is, you know, 8-9 o'clock in the morning. I don't function very well at the other end of the day anymore.
Yeah, yeah,
probably
yeah.
as I get a bit older. But and trying to, and saying to that sometimes people, and it's lovely, you sit and you watch somebody, this realization go over somebody's face where they go, oh yeah, okay, that's I get it, you know.
Yeah.
And I was there and I still am there. But I guess, yeah, my development for me, and it probably will always be, that I just probably need to be a bit more faith in my own abilities, maybe.
Yeah.
And I say that with a smile, because I think everybody will always say that, and I'll never quite get there. But, you know, the fact that I'm in the role I'm in, I suppose, should tell me that I'm okay at what I do.
Yeah. I think it's one bit of, I think it was in my mid-30s, I felt comfortable in my own skin.
Yeah.
And it was one of those ones that I went, oh yeah, you're all right. And it was one of those ones going, yeah, are you okay at this? Whereas before, I'd gone through that imposter syndrome, and I worked in the bank for many years. But it was a really refreshing moment to go, yeah, that's all right. I did a good job there. That's okay. And it's a quite a nice feeling to do that. So I just want to wish you all the very best for this year, because it's had really exciting.
Thank you.
So, Claire, how can people reach out if they want to connect with you? What's the best way? If they'd like to find more information about Carrera Hotels, what's the best way to do that?
So Carrera, we're online, obviously. You can get us through all the usual social media channels. For me, if you want to reach me, LinkedIn is probably the best way to get me, under Claire Johnston on there. And I'd be more than happy to chat and talk to people as well. I've spent a long time building my LinkedIn network, and I think it gives a lot of power back.
Yeah.
And you know, you're getting it, same old thing, you're getting it what you put in, or you get out of it what you put in. So so anything like that. And I'd be love to hear about anybody's journeys, or if they want, you know, a little bit of HR advice or anything like that along the way as how to get somewhere, then that'd be great. I think it's exciting when somebody just starting out reaches out and says, you know, how do I? And you think, gosh, you know, if you, one, you're passionate about people, and two, you might be passionate about hospitality, I wish you could just kind of tie them down to a chair and stick them in it, because we need those sorts of people in our industry.
Yeah. Yeah. No, fab. And I appreciate today. I think we could talk for ages about the kind of career talents, etc. I'm just blown away that it's, the stuff I've heard today is really rich, very straightforward things, but would mean a lot to your colleagues. And I've really enjoyed today. I've got some good ideas as well from that perspective. So, Claire, can I just say thank you so much for joining today?
Thank you
really, really appreciate it. Wish you the very best for this year and the future years. And go and be brilliant. So that's a bit I'd say. Go and be brilliant. That makes
sense. Thank you very much. I've enjoyed it.
Cool.